But we'll kick things off with Terrence Nance. He's the creator of the HBO series Random Acts of Flyness. The show explores what it's like to be young and black in contemporary America. A recent story about Terrence posed the question, is America ready for Terrence Nance? Obviously, Beta is. Are you?
What up, world? It's Terrence Nance here. Welcome to Random Acts of Flyness, a show about the beauty and ugliness of contemporary American life. Today, we got a whole bunch of flyness, fly stuff for you today.
You can't be riding a bike and texting at the same time.
Sir, officer, I was not texting. I was filming my television show.
Television.
It's Gainful Employment. Yes, you are actually on the television show right now, sir.
How would I describe it? I think that, in general, I think that the title is the best description of the show.
Oh, yeah, it's a great title.
It is hard for me to even find accurate descriptors for, so usually if I'm asked to do that, I just ask what whoever's asking me likes on television.
Yeah.
And then I kind of find a way to lean it towards that, whatever they decided they liked. Because I think that there's a lot of things happening, so often I can find a way to make it relatable to anything that that person might like.
Let's play this out a bit. We had Justin Simeon on a few months ago about Dear White People. Compare and contrast Random Acts of Flyness with Dear White People.
That's a great question. I mean, Justin's a friend of mine, and, you know, a huge supporter of his. He's been really great supporting me and my work just over the years, you know, for a while. You know, we come from the same culture and community, so I think that a lot of just the underlying conversations that inspire the show are similar, if not the same. And I think that where there's a big point of commonality is I think that we both have a experience of being 20s and 30s in America at a time when internet culture, we both know what it's like to not have a phone, to like walk around for a summer and not have a phone, and then also know what it's like to kind of be digital natives as black people, male-embodied black people. And I think that a lot of what's common about the shows is that we're navigating, expressing ourselves at that kind of border, like we're in that border town of generations.
Very well said.
Thank you.
Your show is just very different in terms of the presentation, the way you mix all these different elements. You got the verite, documentary, musical performances, a lot of surrealism, surrealist melodrama, humorous animation, claymation. In terms of the surrealism, one reviewer has said that if we were able to put Random Acts of Flyness into a category, maybe the most appropriate category for your show would be Afro-surrealism, this literary and cultural aesthetic, which is a response to mainstream surrealism and is an effort to reflect people of color's lived experience. So I'm curious, do you see Random Acts of Flyness as Afro-surrealism?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that there's just a healthy dose of abstraction and surrealism at play in the show. I don't think that aspect of the show is necessarily what makes it hyper different than all the other shows. You know, in Dear White People, there's characters talking to dogs. In Atlanta, there's an invisible car and light comes out of chicken boxes. And I think in Lisa Ray talks to herself in the mirror. So I think that there's a shared aesthetic rendering of our experience that I think other people experience as surreal. But I think for us, it's actually naturalism in a way. I think that when we're kind of dealing with expressing our experience, it's more natural for us to use imagery and sounds that engage the metaphysical, I think, at the end of the day, because I think a metaphysical experience of the world is natural for us, for our generation of black people, for sure. And I think that's why that kind of exists across the spectrum of everything that's happening now, movies and TV, for just our generation of artists.
One of the most powerful segments in the first episode of Random Acts of Flyness is Everybody Dies. Can you tell me about this segment?
Yeah, I mean, Everybody Dies, I think, really encapsulates a lot of what the show is trying to do, which is find ways to put forth and express the layers of the emotional experience of what it's like to be, specifically in that case, like Francis Bodomo or Terrence Nance or Mariama Diallo, in kind of like our experience of trauma today. And I think that Francis made that piece kind of as the pilot was being made. She co-wrote it with Mariama Diallo and made it as part of this project called Collective Unconscious. And when she was making it and talking about it, I definitely identified with all the emotions that were at play. Mm-hmm. But specifically just like the absurdity that just all humans would experience, but definitely like black people experience when confronted with so many images of the state murdering children, black children. And I think that the absurdity that kind of comes after the anger and sadness gets centralized in a way that I hadn't experienced before, because I think the absurdity of the layers of emotion of, like, you know, you can't process any more sadness, so maybe it will become funny for at least a moment. And then you can't process the humor, so then maybe it will become rage or defiance, at least for a moment. And I'd never seen anything that had all those layers, emotional layers, stacked at once and that I identified with so readily.
Take my hand, walk through the door, and you'll live in this world no more.
There, there, kids. There, there. Everybody dies. You might not be ready, but I'm ready for you. You might slip in the shower. You might get hit by a car. You might get sick and die slowly.
The murder man!
You might be running from the police. You might be running from a stranger who thinks he's the police. You might be playing with a toy gun. You might be not selling cigarettes. Everybody dies, it's true. Him and her and you and you. Kids beware when they attack, especially if you are black.
Another standout segment in the first episode is the commercial parody for White Be Gone, which is this topical cream that can be used to treat white thoughts, which are a sign of a disease called acute viral perceptive albinitis. That's what the pitchman, played by John Hamm, tells us. How did you come up with the idea for White Be Gone?
I don't know how I came up with it. It just sort of like came into my mind one day. It was definitely post the election. I think the initial idea came from a place of just trying to make sense of, you know, a lot of deep-seated anger probably. But I don't know. I've probably intentionally forgotten whatever emotional space it came from.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that what it ended up morphing into was more, well, not even as more, is firmly about the daily process of recentering oneself when kind of having to deal with the onslaught of oppressive forces around you. And that, you know, that applies whether you're black or a woman or both, or in any kind of state of being compromised, your health being compromised. And I think that, you know, by an oppressive force or a system of oppression. And I think that that process of turning away that kind of happens in the segment is really what it's about. And I think that idea of the turning away and re-embracing what actually sustains you or what makes you came about after the script had been written, and I shared it with my DP, Sean Peters. And I think that that kind of moment, that fulcrum, comes from him and really our dialogue and our ongoing dialogue as brothers and artists, you know.
Do you suffer from white thoughts? White thoughts are a symptom of an aggressive disease called acute viral perceptive albinitis.
Violence isn't the answer.
Also known is whiteness. The whiteness virus targets healthy, culturally, and ethnically specific cells. Italian, Irish, Scandinavian, etc., and what have you. The albinitis then attacks and destroys any cultural or ethnic specificity using an arsenal of fake holidays, 17th century aristocratic class warfare, the one drop rule, and Elvis. Luckily, we have a cure. White Be Gone.
And I also think that it's funny to even think about that now. I just saw this response video from a YouTuber. It was just hilarious. Basically, the coda of the response video was, it's okay to be white, and having white thoughts is okay, and you should be proud to have white thoughts. It was just really funny because I was like, wow, he played right into it. Like, he really like internalized like this part of it that was sort of just like a red herring, like the whole, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just funny, you know, to kind of think about it like that.
Yeah, something very interesting happens at the end of the White Be Gone segment, because we see you looking at your computer and you're exchanging these text messages with your show's first assistant director, Annalise Lockhart. And Annalise writes, quote, "It seems to me that as artists, we should be addressing whiteness less and affirming blackness more," end quote. And it's a bit of meta commentary, and it raises an important question about the content of Random Acts of Flyness. How much of the show should you spend addressing whiteness, and how much of the show should you spend affirming blackness? It seems to me that they're both parts of the same equation, and you can't have one without the other. What do you think?
That's a great question. I mean, I think the extent to which blackness is a offshoot of white supremacy and resultant even from, especially like the sort of American iteration of blackness, is resulted from a system of oppression called white supremacy. You know, I think it's a little bit up for debate, but to quote Ta-Nehisi Coates, you know, he says that they made us into a race and we made ourselves into a people. And I think that there's a peopling, you know, or a recentering of ourselves that can and does happen consistently and daily that is not inclusive of whiteness as like cultural force. And I think that that iteration of blackness is an intentional space that is and has always been consistently created. And I think that there's a way of living within it and the expanse of it that doesn't acknowledge or deal with or interact with the system of oppression of white supremacy. But that said, I think that there clearly must be some sort of, maybe therapeutic, but just there's some sort of release that might happen in some sort of dialogue with whiteness and or white supremacy that is foundational to black people and black entertainment and black entertainers and black artists, clearly. And I think that to that point, White Thoughts is funny. It's funny to watch. You know what I mean? It's like there's some sort of satisfaction there in saying those things or getting them out, even if they aren't maybe in the larger sense what progress me as a black person forward in my kind of emotional or spiritual dealings with white supremacy. But maybe it does, you know, and I think that that kind of interaction is a little bit, it clearly is foundational. And I think that the jury is still out, or at the very least, it's very subjective to the extent to which it's like a productive experience for black artists or black people. And I think I have space for the fact that we don't know and I don't know and that I have a different opinion about it every day, you know?
Yeah, sure. Who is the audience for Random Acts of Flyness? Do you have an ideal viewer or viewers in mind?
Everybody should watch the show. there's definitely no ideal audience, you know, obviously. I'm the first audience, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm making it so that I can, you know, communicate back to myself most accurately. But past that, which is to say nothing, you know.
Yeah.
There's definitely no ideal audience. Everyone should watch it.
Yeah, that's what I thought you'd say. Yeah, I'm glad you say that. So the New York Times published a profile of you with the headline, "Is America Ready for the Mind of Terrence Nance?" Do you, Terrence Nance, think that America is ready for your mind?
I mean, of course.
Yeah, you wouldn't be doing this. Yeah.
What is readiness? I think that is anybody ready for anything, you know, that is going to affect them? You know, I don't know. It's just like a weird thing to aspire to.
Terrence Nance is the creator of the HBO series Random Acts of Flyness. You can find out more about Terrence at wpr.org/beta.
Swearing also helps deal with those social pains, that feeling of shame or embarrassment or exclusion.
The upside of coarse language. Maybe it's time to change our attitudes about swearing. You may think that's a bunch of bull, but you'd be wrong. Stay tuned to find out why. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta on Wisconsin Public Radio.